Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. There is the Brighton reaction show and Sheffield United preview show. Of course, the Reds are hosting Sheffield United tonight at Anfield in they're all massive games now. They're all massive, especially after last night where you're half watching, half not, Man City and Arsenal, thinking, is there going to be a slip-up? Of course there's not. We need to focus on ourselves and just keep, especially now we've got the two-point cushion, especially if we win tonight. We need to make that count and cracking as we are. But before we get stuck into Brighton and Chef United, I'm joined by Christian Anderson and I'm Mick Moran. I'm keeping up the full names, Dad. I'm keeping up with it because I know people are enjoying it and laughing as well. We're doing it as well, so it's even more fun, yeah. But how you doing, lad?
Good. I look forward to tonight. And I just want to point out what you said there about the games last night. You know, this, you won't, you know, have anything from games like that when the Aston Villa wall at that free kick is, you know, wide open. I saw someone saying that was a brilliant free kick from Foden or whatever. But, you know, if you can shoot, you know, through a wall that, you know, that close, it's, I don't know, it was a horrendous wall. So there was 2-1 for them and you knew that, that's the way it is. So we just need to do our job tonight and keep on doing it. Like we can hope that the other team's going to slip up a bit and stuff. But, you know, City at home and Arsenal at home, they won't give away much. So we just need to do our job at home tonight. So looking forward to it a bit. You know, I know it's Sheffield United and, you know, they're really bad. But I'm always a little bit nervous because, you know, we are soon getting there now. Like it's only 9 games left and, you know, it's ticking down. And, you know, the rivals for the title have taken points and stuff. So I kind of love the situation, but I also hate it in one way because, you know, I get nervous and all the feelings, emotions and all that. So, yeah.
Especially the last game at Anfield under the lights, unless a game changes to a night game. I think all the other games are in the day. So, another thing to think about or not think about, because it can, like you said, you can get a bit down thinking, oh, there's this many games left on the clock, et cetera, et cetera. But before we get into Sheffield United fully, let's talk about Brighton a little bit, because 2-1 win on Sunday. And I think what we spoke about on the preview, like we always say start strong, early goal, et cetera, et cetera. I think I said, if we get one early, we'll end up scoring quite a few. And then Brighton go and do the thing that we wanted to do and score an early goal. And it was a hell of a strike, to be fair. Welbeck, of course it was Danny Welbeck. As soon as it hit his foot and flew in, I was like, of course he's going to score a belter against us. Great goal, but I think it was one of them, like, you can score that early, but sometimes in a way that can help refocus the opposition. I think the first half, I don't think we had a few chances, but I felt like Brighton were, I mentioned on the preview as well, like, Trent's talked about them recently saying, like, they're quite annoying to play against. Klopp talked about them recently saying, because they're so different, it's hard to, because the man marking and the way they play, the triangles, it must be so difficult to play against. And I think, like, we're maybe getting a little bit frustrated in that first half, but to go 1-0 down, I think I was kind of like, I'm glad it's like 2 minutes in rather than like 15, because it gives us more chance to respond and refocus, because they sucker punched us a little bit with that one because it was so early.
Yeah, and the way that goal came as well, because you mentioned the strike, that was unbelievable. You know, it's hard to do that and get that clean strike in, you know, also to make it go into the net, because it's a difficult moment to do that as a player. Obviously, it goes quick and you need to strike it perfectly, which it did. But it's also the way the ball fell to him, like Szoboszlai worked his way back, you know, to try to disturb. I can't remember the player who was driving the ball forward for Brighton now. But, you know, I thought, yeah, that was clear. And then it just, I think, took a deflection on Van Dijk and just landed perfectly for Welbeck to strike it and then obviously score. And you felt straight away, oh, for fuck's sake, one of them, you know, where we were going to have to turn around and chase again. But I think as soon as that happened, and like you said, we refocused and I think we worked ourselves way into the game. Good. We created chances. You can tell that we were, you know, in possession, we're driving the game, controlling the game from that. They had a few chances, obviously, because we had to go forward, the counter-attack from them was coming. You can't really, you know, protect yourself from that except for defending well, which I think we did as well. But, you know, it's just the way and the feeling of conceding first at home and have to do it the hard way and turn it around because it's Brighton. Like you said, it's a difficult team to play against. But I think we kept on doing the job and we kept on being patient and that paid off in the end. So, yeah, first half wasn't that good, even if we think we controlled the game better and better towards half time. But in second half, I think, you know, there was only one team really that tried obviously to win it. And in the end, we sorted it out as well.
Yeah, I don't think David Coutts helped things. Like, I don't know if it's because I was so low in the cop or I don't know. I haven't watched the game back fully, but he was just making it all about him. It's like that whole thing where they come to Anfield and they're like, I'm not going to get swayed by the atmosphere. I'm going to go the other way and give the opposition most of it. Like McAllister getting a yellow for the slightest touch, and there's just bits where it's just getting broke up in play and you're like, what's the ref doing, basically? And that's why, like, when people are posting like these screenshots of is who the referee is going to be for this game, I'm like, it means nothing to me, honestly.
Yeah, I'm the same.
They're all the same. I look at it and go, all right, it's Anthony Taylor or whatever, and whatever. Like, it's, we can't do anything about it, firstly, but secondly, like, they're all shit. It doesn't matter if they've got bias in them. They're all bad anyway. Obviously, it's worse if they've got bias in them as well, like Anthony Taylor, but yeah, he was just having a, from what I could see, he was having an absolute shocker. But like I said, the first half was a bit of a mad one. I was just looking at the stats. They had one shot on target, one shot off target, and scored. Of course, the one shot on target. We have four on target, score, and five off target. But Luis Diaz gets the goal in the 27th minute, and it was like, that's what I mean. Like, with their goal coming so early, like for us to get one on the 27th, it was also a good time for us to. The score. And I just want to talk about like Diaz as well, because the goal was great. But I think, like, just in terms of his output recently, I think he's been much improved. I think we've spoke about, like, maybe a couple of weeks ago, like, oh, he needs to score more, he needs to assist more. I think that's kind of like general consensus on social media. Like, he needs to be better at doing that stuff in terms of like taking people on and being brave and all that stuff. He's always had that. But I think, like, since the injury he had against Arsenal, I had a little look this morning. He missed 31 games with that injury, which is basically like he missed the whole Premier League season there enough. But I think he's been shown that warrior, Luis Diaz, that we know and love more. But we're also seeing, like, him getting into positions and taking people on. We saw in the City game where he was rinsing Kyle Walker and Rodri. Like, we're seeing that more and more this season. And I had a look at his goals. Like, he's doubled his best goal tally. He got 6 in 21-22. He's now on 12 this season. Obviously played loads more games this season, but I think it's testament to how good he's been doing, because of course there's the injury, but then there's the stuff with his dad, which footy goes completely off the table. You don't even think about footy when something like that happens to your dad. Of course, it all worked out perfectly and well, and he's back home with him, which was what we wanted. But I think it's maybe took him a little bit more time than he wanted to, back from the injury, then getting back into form, having a bit of rhythm, maybe being in and out of the side. And I think he is always our first choice left winger because how good he is. But I think we're starting to see a little bit more of what we were seeing, I think, in the initial stages of Diaz, in terms of like being really brave, like flying into tackles and taking people on, and also getting like goals and assists that we want him to get.
Yeah, because I think when you look at him and the energy and the fighting part of him that he brings to the team, you know, never stops running, never stops going at players. But, you know, to add more goals and more assists to his tally, that's, you know, that's what we wanted, and that's what I kind of expected as well, but that's the player that we want, because we all remember obviously Mane playing on the left hand side scoring goals, but maybe not having the same energy and drive as Diaz. And I really like that with Diaz, that he has that, because he's someone that, you know, it doesn't matter if it's the second minute or if it's the 93rd minute, he's still fucking going. And you know, not everyone has that kind of strength in the modern football to be able to, even if you can run loads, he runs so much on his fully capacity, but can still keep on doing it the whole game. So that's very important. I read something today about, I don't know if it's real or not, but a quote from Jamie Carragher that he said, you know, that if with a new manager coming into to Liverpool, that, you know, somewhere to look, it's probably the wide left-hand side to replace, you know, Diaz, because you think he's good and not that great. I very much think that he is great, because what he, like I said, what he brings now with energy, pace, work rate, everything, technical skills as well. But actually now, when he start adding the goals, start adding assists and being more influential in that part of his game, there's not many better players that you can have for a certain price at the moment, because obviously you can find better players and younger players that you could buy, but they would cost loads and loads. But with Luis Diaz, I think he fits the way we play. I think he can adapt even more. Like you said, he was out with an injury. He had his problems with, you know, with his dad being kidnapped, which is, you know, horrible. It obviously affects him. Even if he tries to focus on the footy, that will affect anyone. I think what we see now is the Luis Diaz that we all want to see, and hopefully he can just keep on progressing from here. He scored another goal against Brighton, but obviously that was ruled out for offside. Was on the, you know, it was just, you know, very, very, very tight. But, you know, the way that he runs into that space, and obviously the pass from Salah is amazing. But, you know, that would have been, you know, two goals in that game for him as a winger. So I think he's doing better and better. And, you know, for me, he's a starter in any game that we have left because of what he brings in, you know, as in general, as a player for us at the front. So, yeah, all credit to him. I think he's been brilliant the last couple of games, or the last couple of months, to be honest.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing, I think with that is, like, with the, you mentioned, like, maybe bringing someone in, I think it's like, it's, you could do it. I think with always South American players, the dream's always in it, like Madrid or Barca, just that it's just ingrained in them, and it's understandable and all that. So it's like, do you want to let him go out and fulfill his dreams, if they are his dreams? I mean, we don't know that for certain. Although his dad does talk a lot about it in the media, which I think is quite funny. And then if you do sell him for, say, I don't know, it's just random figure, 60 mil or whatever, then you're going to have to, then you're going to have to go on out and replace it. And it's like, you could, but are you going to get the same? I think it's always a risk. It's always a risk when you've got a really good player who can be loads better. We know that. I think he's been putting in like better output more recently than he has been in terms of his overall game. But I think it's always a risk. Like, if you go out and get someone, are they going to take a little bit longer to adapt? Are they going to adapt to the Premier League? I think we know that, especially with like a new manager coming in new ideas, etc.
Yeah, and I think if we try to replace him even with a new manager, I think the way to go is to actually find someone first and then sell him. Like, you find someone. It could be a prospect that isn't that expensive, or it could be someone that is having a higher price tag and gives you really good skills, but you let that player come in first and adapt a bit, and then you kind of have a gentleman deal with Diaz that he can go. If we know there's interest and actually offers on the table from, for example, Barcelona, Real Madrid, if that's, because then we can kind of get that new player into the team without feeling that we have to straight away just, oh, right, Diaz is gone, now you have to replace him and do, I wouldn't say just exactly the same, but you have to provide goals and assists. So if you could do that, because you've got the money and you've got a plan ahead, you know, like I said, you have had the talks with Diaz, like, yeah, we can let you go. Maybe let's, for example, say maybe not this summer if it's not already been talked about and they already have someone coming in. But with a new manager, there will be many changes anyway. So that would be a little bit of a risk and a stress thing to do, I would say. So let's say that we say if you stay another season under the new manager and we find time to bring someone in that we can replace you with, then you are allowed to go next summer if we know there's interest and stuff. Because obviously we know that kind of talk going on in footy nowadays, like, we know that they're going to come in for you. We already might have a a deal with them on the table, but that would be next summer. I would like Liverpool to do that, because I hate when we sell someone and then we want to try to replace that player and think that we're going to have the same figures coming in terms of goals and assists. And it might turn out great and brilliantly, that's boss, but at the same time, there's a big risk that you lose so many like points from just having someone comes in that doesn't fit at all, because you can't always be as we've been doing really well in transfer market. We find the right players, but with a new manager and new staffs and probably maybe a new way to play and all that kind of stuff is going to happen after Klopp. I don't want to risk too much of what we already have, because if there's something that can be consistent and keep on playing as a fucking piano, it is actually the team and the players on the pitch at the moment. What the new manager says and will do, that's another story, but I don't want to change too much in terms of players when we're going to have a new manager, because they already know each other, every one of them. They know how to play. They know what when rely on each other. So let's not break too much up until the new manager has had his chance to actually have this troop and squad to, you know, look at and see what he can do with them. Then the change is going to come forward from that, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the clip where Van Dijk was talking about like Klopp leaving and like how he's an emotional person and how. And he was saying like how like Klopp's leaving, and he went players are leaving, and he was like, oh no, staff are leaving, and I was like, players are leaving, and I was like,
I think it's just a missaying.
I know, yeah, but
it's English like, is not your first language. It's easy to say something and you go and be like, everyone's like, oh yeah. No.
But it might just be like, you know, Matip or like whatever. But it of course it gets the people on social media going like, who's it going to be and all that stuff. Yeah. But yeah, we'll see. But Diaz at the minute is performing.
Yeah.
As we want him to perform. A little shout out to the office there. Office quote. Let's fast forward into the second half. And of course, Mo Salah had a few chances in that game. Quite a few that I remember thinking he's basically one-on-one. And 9 times out of 10, you put your house on him, think, to bury them. He had a couple of them, a couple of half chances as well, but he gets his goal. And I loved this goal just for quick passing, interchange of play, and then I think it was Virgin to Szoboszlai, and then Szoboszlai quick ball into McAllister. Fucking touch is just crisp as any, and the first touch from McAllister off a pass like that, and then Salah knows Macha's got the ball, little movement back on side, and the little ball through, and then Salah's just one-on-one like that. And you know, when he's on that right-hand side with the left foot, you know where he's going, but it's hard to stop because he's so good. But I just loved that goal, and I think it was worthy of being the winning goal as well. Like you said, there was the Diaz one, which is tight as anything. But like 65th minute, I was like, there's a half an hour to go here. We probably do need another, especially towards the end, where it was very nervy. It was very nervy. But I think just on that goal, it was a boss goal, and I had a little look. I always look every time Salah scores a goal. Like, I found myself looking at the all-time like Liverpool charts, because I want to see how close he's getting. He's still 20 behind Billy Little in fourth in the all-time list. So I think Billy Little is on 228, and Salah's on 208. So he's 20 behind. So he needs 21. Could do it this season.
He will score a few more this season. I will score, you know, a few more this season. I'm certain about it, and it could be he could have a hat trick tonight, to be honest. But you know, I don't want to be carried away, because you know it's going to. But he could, if it's one of them games where everything just works for him, because all the chances that he had against Brighton, if he would have, you know, finished them away, he could have had a hat trick there as well. But you know, he had a bad day in terms of finishing and actually getting, you know, the power behind the ball. I thought some of his finishing was crap, but you know, he still scored a great goal. And on that goal as well, you know, the pass from Szoboszlai into McAllister, like you said, that technique from McAllister. That just, you know, had that touch, because it's a hard fucking ball for Szoboszlai, but to have that touch and the vision to just place that ball perfect into Salah, and then Salah to have that perfect touch to act, because that's a hard ball in that space as well. So the whole, like you said, thread of passes into that space and that goal is actually magnificent, because you need to be on the, you know, on top and world class to be able to control balls like that, because if they come like towards you with that, you know, speed, it's hard, even if, and because you're in the movement as well all the time. So that was a great goal. But yeah, I think with Salah, like I said, I think he would score I wouldn't say many, but a few more goals this season. We'll see. We'll see. You know, it could be three tonight. It could be one. It could be none. But we'll see. I still think, you know, he we'll close down the gap. And hopefully, if he's staying next season as well, we'll see, obviously. But, you know, if he does start, that will be a season where he will break that record. Well, you know, catch Billy Liddell and then go for, you know, top three would probably be hard, but that's where he's in that frame, which is ridiculous, to be honest. But yeah, that goal came a bit early in the second half. I thought, well, I wanted to come because we obviously needed it to be, you know, a winning goal. But like you said, I thought we wouldn't be in having another goal to be able to win the game. And that was my concern, because like you said, you can tell it was nervy at Anfield. I was nervous in front of the TV. I stood up. I usually sit down quite calm. But I stood up in front of a TV and just like I was pointing like where to press there and be in that area there, cover up space there, because I felt, you know, Brighton always have a goal in them and they are good and they are difficult for us. So when Diaz scored, I was like, yes, you know, that's 3 points secured. Then it's obviously taken off for offside. I felt the last 5-10 minutes was horrible, to be honest.
It was.
You know. Yeah. So, but you know, 3 points in the bag, that's what it means. But it's not good for your heart again.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's not. It's conceding early and then having to get back in the game. Knowing full well we can, but it's the worrying about how we're going to do it and how nervous it's going to be and all that. And I just had a quick look because I was interested, because, of course, Sergio Aguero's still got that record, hasn't he? So he's fifth in the all-time Premier League top goal scorers on 184. So the highest, like, overseas goal scorer is Sergio Aguero on 184. Salah's on 155. So he needs 30 more Premier League goals. And I'm sure he'll know about that, that he needs 30 more Premier League goals to be the most prolific overseas Premier League goal scorer, which, imagine he gets into fifth. It's mad. Like, I'm just going to have a quick look. So he's in 10th on 155. Defoe's on 162. God is on 163, Henry 175, Lampard 177, Aguero 184, Andy Cole 187, Wayne Rooney 208, Harry Kane 213, and Alan Shearer 260. So he needs another 106 to overtake Shearer.
So we want for another couple of seasons.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do that in about 3 seasons. Mo, don't worry, you'll do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny because, like, I always say, like, I always thought, oh, he's probably not thinking about them records, but like the more you get to know him over the years and all that, you're like, he knows, probably got them on a pad next to his bed, right, I've got 30 for this one, 20 to get past him and all that stuff, and that's what drives him, and that's why hopefully he does stay, because he's driven by these records, he's been here long enough, he's put in the hard work, he might as well carry on now and continue the work, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and he knows, you know, when the age where he's at the moment and is still, you know, very fit and, you know, as good as ever. And I think, you know, he also look at the, you know, if he looks at options apart from Liverpool, like where he could go and play football, I think there's no much, many more places that is better than Liverpool, to be honest, for him. The way he plays, the way he's treated, because he knows he's a star man. He also know that, you know, with the statistics that he has and all the records that he's already broken, you know, it probably means more for him when he hangs his boots up, you know, that I did this at Liverpool Football Club, because it's a legendary big club, obviously, all over the world. So I think when you look at it, if he gets, like, the, you know, the money that he deserves and want at Liverpool, why change that to, well, you know, playing in the Saudi League or even in another top European club? Because it's starting over anyway. Where, yes, you might pick up a few other titles in your career. You know, there's like a Spanish league or a cup, or if there's anything like that, or even a Champions League if you play for Real Madrid, for example. Now they have a fucking superstar team anyway, but it's in, you know what I mean? I don't think he's keen to just change that. I think he want to keep on going with Liverpool and knows that next year we're in the Champions League again and we got a team, even if it's a new manager coming in, we still got a team that could, you know, go for it for all titles again, because it's such a young, good team. And hopefully we won't have a drop-off season where, because of a new manager. So let's just stay, Mo. Sign a new contract, you know, make everyone happy. Then tell Trent to do the same and Virgil to do the same. And, you know, there we go.
Sort of. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Fingers crossed. You see, I should be fucking the new Michael Edwards, to be honest. No problem.
Just your tactics are just walk in and go, right, lad, line up right there. Right. Yeah. Verge first, because captain.
Put your name on that dotted line there, mate.
Yeah, Trent, vice captain, go ahead, lad, sit down. And then Salah, go ahead now, fuck off and go and train.
Yeah.
Look, we were talking about passing before and like McAllister being his ability just to be boss. And we've got to talk about him just for a little bit, because it would be remiss of me to not have a little section on Alexis McAllister, because I just thought that game was up against his former club and all that, and being in that higher position because of Endo. And I understand, like, Endo's kind of unlocked this because he's come in and adapted so well to the English footy. He's been incredible. But Alexis McAllister has since been able to, I think he was incredible in the six anyway. I think he was getting to levels where he was unbelievable and we weren't missing Endo, which was crazy. And then he goes back into his normal position further forward. He's getting on assists. He's getting more goals. He's just around the box. He's got that passing ability. And that's what, when we signed him, I was like, this is going to be so good for Salah, Nunes, whatever striker. And we're seeing that Nunes's goals, I think he's assisted Nunes, I think, three or four times already this season. But like his passing, and it's not even just like that. It's his technical ability. It's his fight, his energy, his tackling. Yeah. Like every word that you can think of, like a perfect midfielder, he's given it. He's given those metrics to us every week. And it's like, he's a joy. In that Brighton game, he was a joy to watch. It was basically like when you're playing like in your school footy, and you know that you've got the best player on your team, and you go, right, just give the ball to him because he'll do something with it. It was basically like that in that game, and that's like a testament to how important he is for us, because he's just a little genius, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, it's such a bargain as well with the price that we paid, even if it will probably be higher because of where we are in the table and how far we come in Europa League and stuff, but it's still a bargain, whatever £1 million that will be added on to the initial fee. I think, you know, when you look at him, what I like is that he's an elegant player with such a, you know, elegant moves and great passing skills that it's very, you know, it looks easy. He gets things to look easy, but at the same time, like you said, he's raw and have fighting in him. So he's a mix of that, of them two players that you usually want to have on a midfield. Like you look at, you know, I don't know, but I wouldn't compare him to them, but you have like a Zidane player who's just elegant all the time. The way that he plays, just dancing football in front of you, and you think like that's brilliant. Then you have someone like Makalele next to him that is a great footballer as well, but you know, have a tackle and all the fighting in him. McAllister is like them two, you know, built together, without saying he's like Zidane in the elegancy or like Makalele in a raw type of player, but he got them skills. He got both of them skills that he can find those passes and great vision and just control the play and the pace of the play and everything. Then if he needs to, he can just fight, run and bring a tackle in as well. So, you know, he's a very all-around player. He's a World Cup winner for Argentina. He's brilliant at the midfield. I think, you know, there's quite many players up there for that kind of price, but I think if we go and win the Premier League, he must be, you know, considered maybe the player of the season. If you look at the stats and the way and the influential part that he has had since he came in, when we changed the whole midfield, he's been the one that actually, you know, set the bar for everyone else this season. And to do it so quickly, I know that he played for Brighton in the Premier League before, but to come into a top team that, you know, is fighting for the titles and are, you know, considered to be up there if you have this team on the club, to come in and do that straight away and be the one that just taking, you know, being like, all right, lads, I'm going to fucking make sure that, you know, this boat is floating straight forward, and to do it, you know, week in, week out is brilliant. So I'm happy that he's ours, and I'm happy that he's only like 25 or something, because he's got many, many years to be on this midfield and just fucking, you know, giving us great, great football. So I'm enjoying every time he's on the pitch. I think he's massively brilliant.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that, like, one of the best things about it is he's only 25. 26 on Christmas Eve. Must be a nightmare, like, getting presents around that time. Like, just thought it's my birthday. I always think anyone's got a birthday around then. It's like, it's Christmas and it's my birthday. Like, it's like, feel a bit fobbed off. It's like, well, I want two separate presents, or I want presents for, anyway, I'm talking shit again. But yeah, what a player. But let's talk about tonight a little bit. Sheffield United, 7:30 at Anfield. Nice to have consecutive games at Anfield as well. And I think it's one of them, like, it's set up well for us because the bottom of the league, all respect to them, they're the worst side in the league. They're on 15 points. Luton are on 22, they're in 18, so they're 7 points off the pace. They've got two games in hand over Burnley and Luton, and Nottingham Forest, to be fair. But I think it's like set up where it's like, oh, you're going to go and win. I think we discussed this earlier, like, it's going to set up like, oh, you can go and win 4-5, 6-0, easy. But it's like, we need to have that mentality that, like, we're playing, this is a Brighton, this is a, like, a team who can cause us problems. Like, just treat it like it's a team who can really severely disrupt like our flow and stuff and what we're trying to achieve this season. So I think it's one of them, like, again, if you get an early goal, I think they're gonna obviously sit back and soak it up and try and break on the counter, as most teams do. But I just don't think they've got enough in the locker to keep us out, especially if we get a goal within the first 10. I just think we need to do that, like we've done in some games where we get one and then we're straight on it straight away to get another one. I think that's like something that we need to. Someone's ringing me. Are we there? They've gone. It's gone. I don't know who's ringing me this early. I just think it's one of them. It's set up well for us, but we need to go and do the business bit, basically.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you can't be any underestimate about them, because I think, you know, where they are last in the Premier League, they're on 15 points or something, but they're still, like you said, got a few games in hand, and they are obviously able to catch the teams above them, with a bit of luck. It's hard, obviously, but that's what they're going to fight for. So you can't think that it's going to be an easy task, because they are fighting for their survival, even though it looks really dark for them at this stage of the season. But it's not over yet for them. So, you know, points at Anfield would be, you know, brilliant results for them, even if it was 1 point. So I'm just thinking, we have to do the job. And I would love, like you said, if there's a goal in the first 10 minutes for us, you know, we will, you know, that will take the air out of them straight away. Because like you said, the quality that we have compared to them, without being disrespectful, is, you know, another level. So I think if we can score early, the goals will come. And I don't say we win 5-6-0. I would love to. I put a tweet out before in Swedish, that was actually. But I put a tweet out saying, you know, I've seen people saying that we should win with 4-5-0 a game like this at Anfield, because of trying to get the gap with Arsenal in terms of goals, less going into the title race and the finish of the season. But, you know, for me, I'd rather just win 1-0. I don't really care about the goals tally. I just want to win. 3 points is what matters. So I hope we can do it easy this time, without conceding a stupid first goal, without feeling static, or, you know, not finding a way. I want us to be creative, straight on them, from the start. Use our best players like McAllister, the creativity they bring. Run behind their lines with Nunez, Diaz, Salah, score that first goal, let the second goal come, and then we can just control it. Like, there's no stress then. What I hated with the Brighton game, to go back to that one quickly, is that, yes, we were in the lead and we went for the third goal, and we had the third goal, even if obviously that was offside and we had to go again. But at the last part of the game, we gave away so many stupid balls that when we tried to go and score, that it was dangerous for us, you know, with the counter-attack for Brighton. I was like, what are you doing? It's only 5 minutes left. The injury time, just go with the ball down the fucking corner, be boring and kill this game off, keep it at the corner flag and just try to win a throw in or a corner, whatever. Instead, like, Joe Gomez had to, like, put a ball through in the middle to no one and they could counterattack. And there were different other, you know, players that did that as well. And I was like, what are you doing? I was, you know, angry, because there's no point. We are leading. We just need to keep that ball and control the game and not stress, because we got the 3 points here. So I want us to do that against Sheffield United as well. If we got 2-0 up, we don't need to stress forward for the third, fourth, fifth goal because of the goal difference and stuff. if it's nice if we can do it, but do it with control. Do it and find your moments. Don't stress it away and concede a stupid goal because you lost the ball in the central area of the pitch. Because even if we're 2-0 up and we concede a goal, and that's 2-1, that's when the nerves kicks in again. So just control it, take it easy, hopefully score early, but don't do anything stupid because we're in a stage of the season where my fucking heart can't take that, to be honest.
Yeah, I just think it's...
Rant over.
We're too honest sometimes. I think, like, goes out for goal kicks and, like, Keller is running over there quick to take it. I'm like, just, like, slow down. Like, yeah, just take a breath. Take another 4-5 seconds. Every other fucker takes 20 seconds on a goal kick and we're, like, bailing her out there quick after 3. And it's like, I like that we're honest. I like that in a way, but I also don't like it in games like that where you need a bit of, like, game management, which fucking everyone does these days against us usually. But I do like that we played the game, like, quick and we want to get on the front foot and we want to score goals. I like that part of it. Although it's not, like you said, it's not good for the heart and the blood pressure and all that stuff. Like, it's just sometimes terrifying when you're 2-1 up and we're rushing things and you're like, let's not do that right now. Come on. It's a bit mad. But yeah, in terms of, like, lineup then, so, like, in terms of Brighton, so the Brighton lineup was Kelleher, Bradley, Kwanzaa, Van Dijk, Gomez. We haven't talked about Gerald Kwanzaa, how good he was. McAllister, Endo, Szoboszlai, Salah, Nunes, Diaz. Robbo is back, Jürgen confirmed. Curtis Jones is back. I think I'd go Konate and Van Dijk again, personally. I'd throw Konate in the corner and say, wrap yourself up in that cotton wool. Don't move. Like, you go and get yourself, like, a bit of scran. Watch some telly, put your feet up, bit of Netflix and all that, but you're not moving. You're staying right there until Sunday when we need you. I think I would keep the back four. I don't know how many changes I would make. I know, I like, people are saying, like, maybe it's a game for quite a few changes, like, in terms of, like, keeping people fresh, like Gravenberch and Tsimikas and Gakpo and all that. And I part of me is like, I get it, but I'm also like, I'd rather get the game won first half, 50, 60 minutes, then yeah, bring them off and bring on the likes of Gakpo and Gravenberch. And what's your
I'm totally with you there. And to be honest, I would give Konate a bit of gameplay because to get him in match rhythm for United, because to throw him in against United when we know what that means, even if they are crap, you know, we lost their last time in the way we did in the FA Cup. It will be, you know, another one of them games where we probably need to go and win that away, which is hard enough. So I would maybe give him, you know, 60 minutes. If he's obviously fit for it, that's another question because, you know, I haven't heard anything else. But if he's fit, give him 60 minutes, let him play. Hopefully we can win it, like you said, in first half. He can even go off in halftime and, you know, we put Kwanzaa in or whatever. But I would like him to get some minutes in his legs ahead of Man United, if possible, because just to get some match rhythm. So that would be a change, but then you obviously can substitute him quite early if we are in the lead and, you know, in the control of the game. But otherwise, apart from that, I think with Endo having a little bit of a knock as well, save him, obviously. Yeah. Gravenberch might come in that place, or if McAllister goes in down to that position with Curtis Jones coming in, if he can, you know, it's difficult to know, but I think we probably not risking maybe because Jones come back now so early. I think Robertson will not be risked. I think we rather use him against Man United as a sub or whatever, give him a little bit more time. So mostly the same, I guess, as against Brighton, but maybe with Konate coming in because I like to give him a little bit of, like I said, rhythm in the legs, some match minutes, and then take him off to, you know, for precaution, not to risk him to pick up a stupid injury. But apart from that, I think, you know, save Endo as well. And then Gravenberch maybe coming in at that place. Front three, the same. Just go for the 2-3 goals in the first half, please. And then we can change from there.
Yeah, I think it's either or. Because, like, if you go, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If we play the first team and then there's an injury and then, like, people are like, oh, you shouldn't have played him.
Yeah,
you have played
I know.
You know, like, all that. You get into all that stuff, which I hate. But it's like...
Yeah, but we need to take all the games in the Premier League. If we want to go and win this title, we have to risk it a bit now. Like, even if we don't want to, we need to make sure that we win the games. I wouldn't say all games, I'll win it early, but Sheffield United home, there's definitely a chance of us winning this game early if we can. Put them 2-3 goals in, that's it. Then we can change and control the game from there, like I said, with no stress. The players coming on then don't need to feel the pressure of, you know, we need to chase something, or we only got 1-1 here, we need to, you know, score. They can come in and just be like, let's play the ball, keep it simple, be clever. And that's it, because then the other players that we obviously started with, that is our, you know, main mans at the moment, they can have a rest ahead of Man United. So that's another thing. But I think we need to understand that if we want to make sure that we've got the best possibility to win every game, we need to put the best players on the pitch. Maybe we can do one or two changes because we got the quality to do that. But we need to make sure that we put the players that are informed, that provides the most at the moment, and actually go for it. Because no one would be more angry than, I guess, you and me and others that we know if we rotate a bit in a game like this and that turns out to make us lose 2 points because we drew because we didn't actually make sure we went for it. I think it's better to just go for it and hopefully we would see it through.
Yeah, especially when you think like the last game was Sunday, so there's been 4 days gap there. When, like, I just read out the Brighton team there, like, If Endo's not fit, you put Macher in there and you throw Gravenberch in his place and you switch it around a little bit, and I think like that would do me. I think, and then you've got, if you bring Konate on last half an hour, like you said, give him a bit of minutes in the legs or however you do it, as long as there's changes on 60 and 30 for each player, then you're sound.
Yeah, and I think as well, like you mentioned there with McAllister, like, you know, if Gravenberch comes in, just maybe try to play him in the number six then, because with McAllister being so good at the moment in his more, you know, forward role on the midfield, I wouldn't change that because he provides assists, he provides danger, play from our part in that area where he plays a little bit up front. So, you know, further up on the midfield. So I wouldn't like him to come down deep because that takes away an element that we really, really thrive at the moment because of the way he plays. So I'd rather have someone else coming into the number six role for Endo and let McAllister keep on going in the position where he's played the last couple of months or weeks or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one, especially when you think like Sunday's not far away. It's like we do need to be like, there'll be hopefully a plan of like, if it goes this way, like we can change this and this and whatever, and knowing full well that it's only, what, 3 days away until we've got to play Man United. So we need to be smart as well. But we move on to the final part of the show, the best part of the show. I don't know why I'm going to stop calling it the best part of the show, because it's a joke. That's not even funny, because it's not the best part of the show, because we never get it right.
Well, that's when we shut up, the best part.
Yeah. But score prediction, I think I've went 4-0 in the group chat.
Yeah, well, I can't remember.
I think you said 4-1, I think.
Oh, yeah.
4-1. Yeah, I had a little look just then because I actually forgot, to be honest.
Yeah, well, if I said 4-1, I'll stick with that. I don't know why I said that we conceded a goal, but I'm just thinking that we're in the lead of 3-0 and we get a little bit like too comfortable maybe. They score a fucking corner or something, but then we still score another one and win it 4-1. Like something like that. It's just, I don't want it to happen because I don't want to concede any goals, but at the same time, we know that Liverpool can do this sometimes to us. So 4-1 then.
Yeah. Well, we'll take it. We'll take, like you said earlier, any win is, yeah, of course, like when you see Arsenal getting plus two on goal difference and then like Man City +3 on goal difference, you can start thinking, oh, we need like +4 then, or we need at least a match. Like, you get into all that mindset. I understand it in a way, because like, you don't want to lose the title on goal difference and whatever.
Exactly. But
like winning the game, going 2 points clear again, hitting the 70-point mark at this stage as well is the main goal.
I want to go back to, like I said before, I put that tweet out about just win 1-0 if that's the case to get the 3 points, and I had a reply on that tweet. Someone English should probably translate the Swedish tweet, but I liked what he replied with, saying, I remember the Crystal Palace 3-3 10 years ago, which happened when chasing goals. Now it's 9 times 1-0 is enough, but we will age 20, 30 years in 6 weeks. So
basically,
9 1-0s will be enough to win the title, but we will sit here as old men if that happens. Like, white hair, you know, going like really wrinkly or whatever, and just be like, not be able to speak. But I like that reply because it kind of gives me the shivers of, oh, I don't want to do that. And we need to learn from that time, even if the Klopp wasn't the manager then. We need to learn that yes, if we can get the goals, good. But what's most important is actually going to win the game. It doesn't matter. 1-0 is always enough.
Yeah, I don't fancy turning to Gandalf. Like, if we win, imagine we win the next 9-1-0. I'll do the show dressed as Gandalf. There you go. I won't shave my head because I'm trying to keep what little hair I've got left. But I'll throw a beard on. I'll dye my beard.
Who am I then, Dumbledore?
You can be, yeah, if you want. Dumbledore and Gandalf having a chat about the Reds. Why not?
Two magicians. Fucking hell. Two wizards.
Wizards having a little chat. Yeah, fucking hell. This is going off tangent, this. Fucking hell. It's not about Christmas. Presents before as well. Like, let's get out of here. Yeah, we'll leave it there. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Let's hope the Reds can go and, yeah, march on tonight with a strong win over Sheffield United. Thanks to Christian for jumping on. Thanks to everyone for listening, as always. And, yeah, we'll see you all very soon. Ta-da.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Kopi Podcast. Podcast Network.